Welcome back. It's Buckmaster, Mr. Bill Buckmaster, with you in studio along with our friend, Attorney Don Luce. Mr. Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. We look forward to his monthly visits. Never a shortage of legal topics in the state of Arizona. And Don is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. I recommend both books. And they're doing so well that they went into a second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks.
Always a pleasure to see you. Interesting story about Carrie Lake, who continues her effort to somehow find kind of an opening that would overturn an election. As time goes by, she's still hanging in there with this, but what have the courts said about her latest bids to overturn the 2022 gubernatorial election?
Okay, well, I think everyone knows that that was unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. She lost. The question that was most recently presented to the court, however, is should she pay attorney's fees to the party that won? And Peter Thompson, who is the Superior Court judge assigned to that case, sort of found in Lake's favor on that limited issue, saying that Lake failed to provide evidence of misconduct, but that in the way that the verified signatures on the early ballots were, but that her action was not without substantial justification. Hmm. And that's important because we have a statute in Arizona that requires every lawsuit to have substantial justification at its root. So if you file a lawsuit and you have evidence to support your claims, that's good, and the statute would be inapplicable. If you file the lawsuit, however, without any factual basis whatsoever or any law on your side to support your claims, then the court could order you to pay the other party's attorney's fees. Carrie Lake lost. The court found that the evidence did not support her claims, but refused to punish her or her attorneys under this statute, and said that there was at least evidence consistent with the claims that she was making, so therefore her lawsuit was not brought without substantial justification. Compare this, however, to sort of a companion lawsuit that was brought by Mark Finchem, who was the unsuccessful candidate for Secretary of State. The court in that case... Both Maricopa County judges, different judges, however.
Different judges.
The judge in the Finchem case did find that Finchem's lawsuit was brought without substantial justification, and in fact specifically said that Finchem challenged the election loss despite knowing that his claims regarding misconduct and procedural irregularities were insufficient under the law to sustain the contest. So with that finding, the judge in the Finchem case, again, different judge than the judge in the Lake case, the judge in the Finchem case awarded the prevailing party, Adrian Fontes, $40,565 in legal fees and costs, right, and imposed a separate penalty against Finchem's lawyer,
wow,
of $7,400 for filing the lawsuit that she had found to be groundless and not brought in good faith. So both the litigant, Mark Finchem in this case, and his attorney were sanctioned by the court,
yes,
because their lawsuits were not brought in good faith, essentially.
You know, this just feels like there's a subjective kind of element to this, and you gotta wonder if the Finchem case had maybe gone to Judge Peter Thompson in Maricopa County Superior Court, whether there would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, you do as a Superior Court judge, you do have discretion under 12349, which is the statute that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. To essentially sanction or punish the losing side if you find that it was groundless and not brought, you know, in good faith. Now, interestingly, Mr. Fincham, in a earlier statement, said that the judge was punishing him for asserting his First Amendment protections. And he went on to make other disparaging remarks about the judge and the decision that was made against him. So the takeaway is, depending on your judge,
yeah,
if your losing claim is viewed to have been groundless or brought without substantial justification, you as a litigant and your attorney who's representing you in that court may get hit with sanctions.
Boy, there are a lot of gray areas in the law.
Well, there are a lot of statutes that give the judges the authority to exercise their discretion, and this is one of them.
Very interesting stuff. It has been a couple of sessions that we have not talked about legalized marijuana, Don Luce. Let's talk about it now. State Court of Appeals has opened the door for people convicted of selling small amounts of marijuana in Arizona to now qualify to have their records expunged. And we've been talking a lot over the last months about this effort to expunge records that have to do with marijuana convictions.
Yes. In 2020, the voters of Arizona passed Prop 207. And
yes.
In part of Prop 207, in addition to legalizing marijuana for recreational use, also provided that people who had been convicted previously of possession of marijuana up to 2.5 ounces were eligible to have their convictions essentially expunged, right? Sealed, hidden from public view and scrutiny. So this case, the one that we're talking about now, arose out of an arrest in 2014. So, that would have been 8 years, I'm sorry, 6 years before Prop 207 was passed. Long before.
Sure.
And the defendant in that case was not charged with simple possession, but rather possession of a drug for sale, which is a more serious offense.
Yes.
So the amount that the defendant had in his possession was 2/3 of an ounce, which is considerably less than the 2.5 ounces that Prop 207 allows, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he had a small amount in his possession, but he was arrested for possession of a drug for sale, and he pled guilty to a lesser charge of solicitation to commit possession. So he went back to court. And with the support of the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, who had prosecuted him in the original case, filed a petition to have his conviction expunged, erased, sealed. The judge refused. The Superior Court judge said, no, that's not what the proposition means. What the proposition means is, if it's simple possession, you're eligible. This case involved essentially possession with intent to sell. So therefore, I'm not going to grant the petition. The really interesting thing is that the prosecutor was on board with the petition.
Yes.
And the judge refused. So the defendant appealed the judge's ruling to the Court of Appeals in Phoenix, which is Division I, arguing that Prop 207 is broader than what the trial court interpreted it to be. And the Arizona Prosecuting Attorney's Advisory Council stepped in, as they have a legal right to do, and they filed a brief saying, no, if you intend to sell, then you're outside the scope of 207. The Court of Appeals disagreed with the trial court, said the trial court erred in not granting the petition to expunge his conviction, and sent it back with instructions to the trial court to expunge the conviction. So what this does, what this case does, is it makes clear that defendants who were convicted prior to 207, 2020, 2.5 ounces or less, right, are eligible to have their convictions expunged, so whether it was for mere possession or some other more serious charge, as long as the amount was up to but not more than 2.5 ounces.
It really opens the door, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. There are potentially you know, by some estimates, up to a 500,000 people who have convictions on their record for either possessing or possessing with intent to sell a small amount that may be eligible now to have those convictions expunged.
That's going to be a really interesting one to watch. One more I'd like to get into. Arizona's Attorney General, Chris Mays, suing firms over what are these are called forever chemicals. The Wall Street Journal, I think it's front page story today about these forever chemicals. They're forever. What are they?
Okay, so there is a class of chemicals known as PFAS. And essentially, these chemicals don't break down, right? But the problem with these chemicals, as I understand it, is they're fairly water soluble. So they can easily contaminate a water source. And the other problem with these chemicals is they were widely used in the manufacture of fire retardant foam. So if you think about places like Davis-Monthon, where this foam is used on a regular basis, these chemicals are essentially sticking around and finding their way into the water supply. So the lawsuit that the Arizona Attorney General filed on Friday, last Friday, May 26th, is against some of the manufacturers of these forever chemicals saying you were negligent in the design, manufacturing, and marketing and sale of these products, and therefore you are liable to the state of Arizona for the cost of remediation. Well, this is a multi-million dollar claim. But the interesting thing is, it's only one of about 4,000 lawsuits that have been brought nationwide against the manufacturers of these forever chemicals. And each of these claims involves, generally speaking, very large dollar amounts. So you potentially have liability on the part of manufacturers like 3M or DuPont of billions of dollars relating to these various claims. And the claim that is being asserted by the Arizona Attorney General is not on behalf of individuals who have been injured, but rather on behalf of the state, which has remediation expenses. Individuals who are exposed to PFAS may also bring lawsuits in their individual capacity for the injuries that they've sustained. So if you think about the magnitude of this litigation, it's massive. Yeah. These are huge dollar amounts.
Yes. You can imagine what the attorneys for DuPont are going through right now.
Well, it's
and 3M, there's a, but as you say, there's what 4,000 different lawsuits.
There are thousands of lawsuits nationwide over these forever chemicals, and these lawsuits are not going to go away. I just wonder though what financial impact they may actually have on the manufacturers once everything shakes out.
All right, Don Luce, the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don's books, both in second printings. Don, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Mr. Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, we'll be with you in about 23 hours. We've got the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents, Fred Duvall, joins us for our Friday Focus interview talking about the university system in Arizona. That's tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.